Let's pray before I share. Thank you, Father God, that in this place this morning, every knee bow and every tongue confess in the Spirit that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, Father, that here we will heartily follow you by your grace. And thank you for your word that speaks into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that man's faith will not be based on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. Your Holy Spirit and power. Now in worship time and whatever you're doing this morning, thank you. It will be you and your life-giving power, bringing restoration and healing to all of our lives and families in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. And likewise, Lord, please come and stir our hearts for what you want to lay on our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord, for ears to hear, hearts to see and to perceive, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a trick question. What is the theme of the sermon series that we've been busy with the last couple of months? Fly high. Yes. No, Albert, that was not the case. It was not fly high, but I like that. That'll be the next one. That's a more American approach. But I'll try that. No, we've been saying to one another, let's go low. In other words, let's be humble and let's follow suit as Christ had done. If you say you're a follower, if you say you're a disciple, you've got no other choice but to do what he does and to do what he did in walking on earth. And so we're going low. Who's been challenged by this word this couple of months we're on? Who's been challenged by the word? Who's had moments of testing where you had to choose to go low this last couple of months? Oh, definitely all of us. Who's missed opportunities to go low? All of us again. We all do. We're human, and so we miss these things. But it's so beautiful how the word just comes. And I love when the word of Christ, when the word of God becomes practical, that we can use it in everyday life. And so we've been trying to go low. Now, you know the six keys by now. You can flip to the next slide. Thanks. There they are. If you want to know anything more about them, you can go and listen to the sermons. They're all uploaded. I'm not going to run through all of them. Say for the last one, trusted hands. Last week we said to each other out of Jeremiah 18, he's the potter and I'm the clay. It sounds great saying that in kids' church or saying it to one another. It's a totally different thing if you live that. I saw some eyes tear up in worship. You can see God really working in lives and how his spirit touches people, and they just break down in tears just now. But it's those clay-like moments where the Lord comes and says, hey, you're the potter, I'm the clay. But we said to one another, it's not only a potter and only clay. We said that Christ came to fulfill, and he fulfills the old covenant, he fulfills the Old Testament in saying that I will show you the true picture of God, and he's a loving father. Yes, he's still a potter. Yes, he's still sovereign. Does he have wrath? Yes, absolutely. Will there be judgment at the end of times? Yes, absolutely. Let's make no mistake. We still do repent. But Christ comes and says he's not only a potter, he's also a loving father. And so you're in the hands of a loving father who's ever been in a situation as a Christian where, in fact, God had led you into that place where you're like, I have no idea what's cooking. This does not make sense at all. Let me ask another question. Who likes to be in control of their life? 16 honest people. Hallelujah. Now, we all like a fair amount of control in our life, and yet Christianity, in truly wholeheartedly following after Christ, leads us into a place where often, if not always, as you follow him, you'll not have perfect understanding of where you are and what he's busy with. Perspective. The potter has got loving hands, we said. We are in trusted hands, and Christ alone can show that to you. So I said, hey guys, make sure that you trust the hands that you're in. You've given your life to the potter. You've given your life to the perfect Father. He's given you his spirit crying, Abba, Father. But we need Christ to daily remind us, oh, yes, he's good. Lord, what am I going through? Somebody told me that God woke them up at 1 o'clock last night and had a chat to them. And in that moment, they're like, what the? But in that moment, just the realization again that he's a good, loving Father. I'm in good, safe hands. This, where God is waking me up and giving me a word, and encouragement, sometimes even direction. I'm in a place where I'm in the hands of a loving Father. And so we often go through those things. So remember, you're in trusted hands as you go low. And secondly, Jesus was the firstly and foremostly, I believe, the epitome, the true picture of yielded clay. In Gethsemane, we see that his whole life was that of being clay in his Father's hands. Yes, he was God, but he was also fully man, fully human being. And he said, "Here is my life." Three times, Jesus, of all people, said, "May this cup pass from me." Who's ever wanted to just sometimes pass the cup that you've been given? Who of you has been given a cup by the Lord to drink? It's not always an easy cup. Who's been given a cross? Guess what? All of us. The word says all of us take up your cross daily. And that's some stuff that we need to say to one another in churches. Hey, you've got a cross. You've got a cup. Yet you need to decide. And so that laid the foundation just to move on in going low. The heart of go low is obviously one of humility. We're in a culture where humility is maybe not something seeked after daily by all people. And the fine balance in this case is also, as a church and as Christians, the first and biggest mistake I can make is to say, "Ek en Davinia, we're also so humble." Because the moment we think we're humble, we're not. And so this is a constant challenge to walk in humility, yet never to be found in a place where I say, "Yes, now I am humble, brother." Because that is a good, it's a goeie teelaarde for a Phariseer gees. It's a good breeding ground for a Pharisee spirit. So we need to be careful. God is saying to us as a people, "Hey, follow my way of humility." And a way of humility, but not only humility of love, because you can be humble, but you need love to be empowered to do the things that Christ did. None of us can do the things that Christ did in and of ourselves. And so today, as we're breaking open humility and as we're stepping through to love, today's key is very simply the following. Now, as the phone rings, the key is to listen. Listening. Thank you. I really appreciate that. The key is to listen. Let me flip it over before we head into that space. Why is having such a beautiful smile? I constantly need to listen to my wife. Even when she goes through the darkest valleys, I need to listen. And so I've been working this through with the Lord. Who of you guys like to be heard or to be listened to? Who of you guys like to share your lives, share your heart? Who of you actually despise it to share something about yourself? You don't like sharing too much. Okay, well, I'm in good company. So all of you actually want to preach. Maybe we should make more turns. I'm sorry. But all of you guys say, "Yes, it's a human need. I want to be heard. I so desperately want to be heard." Who's ever gone through a difficult situation or something in your life where you've yearned for something, you've called out to the Lord, you've even struggled with something, and then somebody comes around prophetically and just speaks into that, and you realize, "Oh, God has been hearing me all the time." You've had that. Chris says here, that is amazing. It's like, "God, you actually know about this. You actually do." Yes, we know that theologically. We know it through the Bible. But when he comes and he speaks into that moment, you're like, "Whoa, he actually knows." That's a beautiful moment. And so we've got this need to be heard. But this morning, it's not about us. It's not this morning about being heard as much as I believe God is saying, Christ is the one that listens. Christ listens. He's the one that constantly listens. As his Father, he listens. And so he calls us on a journey to say, "Hey, are you willing to listen?" Who loves listening as much as they love talking? Oh, there's a couple of amazing godly people in the house. Yes. But some of us do listen. Hey? The counselors. Oh, we've got lots of them. Praise the Here. Now, just a quick general thing on listening. People spend between 70 and 80% of their day engaged in some form of communication. And about 55% of their time is devoted to listening. To some men, married to some women, it might be even more than 55%. Some people, luckily we've got a beautiful marriage seminar between the 1 and 3 June coming up, so guys, don't worry about it, we'll sort out everything. Some people are chattier than others, but on average the typical person utters anywhere from 125 to 175 words. Don't read those funny things now, just focus, listen in Jesus' name. between 125 to 175 words per minute. Some men will say, my wife can clock that. John is having a ball. And so we have to listen quite often. 55% of your time estimated that you are listening, or at least hearing. But we'll get to the difference between hearing and listening now. Let's quickly see there at the right. Thanks for listening to my problems and somehow making it all about yourself. Who's ever been in a situation where you want to share your heart and somehow the person's got this beautiful gift in turning it around and it's all about them? And you walk away like, how the heck did that happen? It's called hijacking, communication hijacking. It happens to pastors whenever we actually do come to a place that we share. It's like you had the skit, you've got a pain or something, and you just, as you walk out of the restaurant or out of the conversation, now all of a sudden they've got the problem and they totally forgot about you. Anyway, so this happens. I just think before we get serious, let's make a couple of jokes about it. Thanks for taking the time to listen to me complain about you never listening to me. There's a bit of conviction to one or two husbands. Who's ever had this? I've had this before. I like telling stories. That awkward moment when you're telling a story and you realize no one's listening, so you slowly fade out and pretend you never said anything. Have you ever had that? Like six people at a bar. And you're like, all of them are talking about the chops. They're really not listening. And then you just make a slow exit. And you say, yes, yes, nice chops. Okay, I see from the laughter you've had this awkward moment. And then, actually as a pastor, you get moments like these. When somebody is telling you a lie when you already know the truth, but you still keep on listening. Oh, man. It does happen. But we're not going to do all of those things, obviously. That was just so that we can check ourselves. But communication is a beautiful thing, but it's also something that we can be challenged with. And it's always connected to where our hearts are at. Now, what is listening? You can go to the next slide, please. There's a very long Hebrew definition to what true listening is. But the things that actually just stood out for me is to hear intelligently. I would even say to hear intently. To have an intent when you are listening. It is to pay attention. Who sometimes are in conversations in your work or in your home, in relationships where you struggle to pay attention. Not the sermon, Davinius. Keep that answer for another time. But yes, we often find ourselves. I might be doing something, or my mind might be somewhere else. Edna will sometimes sit at the table. I'm there, but I'm not there. And she's like, Vashye. Vashye. I'm like, I'm here enjoying the dinner. And she's very right. I'm not there. And then I need to say, Lord, but what's happening? What's going on in my heart? What is the battle I'm currently fighting? Am I spending time with some problem that I'm facing in church or in community? Is it something that I'm struggling with you? Where am I? Because I want to be present. And behind that, a beautiful sermon that you guys can go download of being present. And it ties in well with this. So it's to give attention, to attentively listen, carefully listen, and then I like the word discern. I nitpicked a couple that I liked. You can go and look through the definition yourself, but to discern as well. To listen is to discern. So we're constantly judging. Judging sounds a bit harsh, but it's a constant discerning. Is what this person speaking now of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Is this nonsense or is this truth? We are constantly doing that. If you're watching an ad, if you're speaking with your husband or your wife, if you're chatting to your children, they're chatting to you. It's constant discernment. And by God, please, when you're here in church, it should be, the listening should be a constant discernment. Not just because we know each other, because we can chuckle a bit, or we've had amazing times together, always discern well in listening in church. But not only here, wherever you listen, and whatever you listen to. Based upon what? The Word of God. Here's the boundaries. The boundaries within which we listen. Now going from hearing and listening, and just thinking, what is the difference? You can go to the next slide. Hearing is simply the act of perceiving sound by the ear. You can go to church, and I heard a lot. But if you didn't listen, it's not going to change your life. If you don't listen, it's not going to change your life. If you are not hearing impaired, hearing simply happens. Some men might say, yes, hearing just happens. But listening doesn't. Listening, however, is something you consciously choose to do. You make a decision. I need to listen now. Listening requires concentration so that your brain processes meaning from words and sentences. It's quite simple, but it's an act that we need to do. And so we're setting it up this morning to make sure all we people that listen, because listening is love. Who's ever felt love by somebody merely listening to you? I had lots of that. When I got out of the world where the Lord saved me, somebody spent sometimes 2 to 3 times a week time with me in discipling me, just listening often. And then at the right moment, after discernment, poof, taking out the enemy, taking out the lie. By the grace of their listening, by the love of their listening, I can stand here today. That and a couple of other things, obviously, that the Lord has done. But I believe the Lord is saying to us, are you willing to go low? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to listen? Because there's a hungry world out there that just needs one person to listen to them. There's one salesman in AB's marketplace, one salesman that just wants somebody to honestly take out a moment of love and actually listen. Not necessarily always have the answer, but just be able to listen. When listening and Christianity, there's two things that we can break open. I have time for one. We'll do the other later. The one is listening to God. That was actually what my message was based on this morning. Just in becoming quiet and listening and waiting upon the Lord until He speaks. Because I've realized as Christians, and especially in maybe in the charismatic circles where the prophecy is and where the Lord flows, we become presumptuous. We assume things and we run without diligently listening. And God just challenged me on that lately. I actually had a word. A guy came to me at a leadership meeting and he said to me, the Lord says to you, come up, come up, come up. I will speak to you the things that must take place. Not that will, that need to, but must take place. And it was this fear of the Lord moment. And I'm like, yes, I need to listen. And so this was birthed all out of that. But we're not going to talk about that today. I believe there's two things. There's a listening to God, but there's also a listening to people. And by the way, the listening to people has a lot to do with the listening to God as well. But we're not going to focus on listening to God. Matthew 22 says the following. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And today, I believe the Lord is saying to us, are you willing to go low? By loving your neighbor and just listening. Can I use your ears? Can I use your ears? That's it. Can the Lord use your ears? Yaku, can the Lord use your ears? Stephen, the Lord uses your ears. Third point here, love people. As we go low, I'm just directing it constantly to Christ because I believe that's what the Lord does. Just constantly say, how did Christ do it? How did He do it? Now, who knows that Christ listened a lot when He walked the earth? There's many, many examples of Him just leading, just listening. But so beautifully is that we might only hear words. Christ listens so much deeper. Christ listens to much more than words. Yes, body language, obviously. But He's attentive to what happens in the Spirit. He's attentive to Tisha's heart's cry more than her words. For those that are married, sometimes in married life, someone might be saying something, but they're actually struggling to package exactly what their need is. Anybody have had that challenge? Not only us, praise God. And so Christ has the ability not to listen only to words, but just to hear what is actually being said. And that, I believe, is what we're called for. Are we willing to listen? And if we listen, can we actually hear what is being said? Now, it's not about me, it's not about evangelizing, it's just to create a culture where we're attentive to these types of things. 75 to 90% of the times when I walk into a Checkers, a Pick and Pay, or a Willys, and I get to the queue, or front of the queue, and I go to the lady that, mostly the lady that rings up the goods that I'm buying. Cashier. The cashier, that just shows actually exactly the point that I'm trying to make. The cashier lady with a name tag, I get to the front. Sometimes I'm just in such a hurry. My life is just so busy. I'm just so consumed that I don't connect. But by the grace of God, the last probably 5 years, especially after Malmesbury, I will just take out a moment, depending on the time of day, just ask, hey, Jenny, how are you doing? What time are you getting off? What time does your shift end? Poof, and they just open up, one after the other. It's just like opening up, just boom, boom, boom. It is just amazing to have a look at just how the countenance of a person can change by a very simple question like, when are you being freed? When will you get freed from this prison today? Poof. They just open up. Nothing deep spiritual. I don't have a prophetic word like you've got three sons and the middle son is James and he's got six toes. Nothing like that. I like those. I won't mind them. Just asking. Just realizing this is a human being. This is somebody made in God's image and likeness. And asking them where probably their mind has been the whole day. Now, some of them are in great shape and great place, and they really love what they do, but not all of them are in that place. And so the next question will just quickly be, it's not deep, I don't counsel, I don't do major things, I just ask, what time do you leave? And depending on what time it is, I don't believe in luck, but I'll just say good luck. I don't want to Christianize it all over them. Just say, hey, good luck. Or, you're almost there, and they're like, yes. And then I'll ask, how far do you have to travel? How far do you have to travel? Do you live in Dunoon? Do you live in Khayelitsha? Do you live in Sunningdale? Do you live in Blouberg? Just conversation. Just having a moment of one human being, not using another for the purpose of getting on with life, but just stopping and just saying, I acknowledge you. I see you. So today is maybe not a very deep message, but yet I believe it's a very profound message in just loving your neighbor. Are you willing to listen? Religion can tell the whole church now, from now on, we're going to greet every cashier and ask, when are they going off? Now, you might rock up at Checkers at 8 o'clock in the morning like, so, when is you off? Like, 8 o'clock tonight, thank you very much for reminding me. It's not a formula. It's just an acknowledgement of another human being. It's just, they might be suffering and this is not the place that they want to be, but you've got yours. You've got your job at another place. If it's not your job, don't know where that came from. If it's not your job, it might be a relationship. It might be your finances. But a place where you feel so crushed by the world or you don't sense freedom, you just need somebody to acknowledge and listen. That's it. Just the hands of God. Just a bit of empathy. So we're looking to Jesus. We are called to listen like Jesus listens. And he listens to more than words. We're going to look at one example briefly in Scripture and then just go through a couple of nuggets, just practical nuggets so we can live this out. John 5, 1 to 19 says the following. It's not one in which Jesus listened for very long, but I believe there's a couple of pointers in which he shows us how to listen, what to look out for. Let's read. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool with an Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here is a great number, listen up, here is a great number of disabled people used to lie. Here is where a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. By the way, this world out there need not be physically paralyzed people, but we live in a broken world. That's just, I believe, a vision of the world out there. It's a vision of the Checkers, the Woolies, even the school ground. It is a vision of people being hurt, And then in some, even in some areas in our country, even more so than in others, people in just absolute destitution. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. For 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." You know that when the water is stirred with the pool of Bethesda, the first one that got in got healed. Oh, that's hard, eh? Praise God, today Christ is our Bethesda, I believe, and everybody is getting healed. Not only the first one there. But that's not the sermon for today. "While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath." Uh-oh. "And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat.'" Can you, for the life of you, imagine this? And Lord, forgive us, because we probably do this in a degree in our own lives. We don't realize it. But imagine this. A miracle taking place. But, oh no. You cannot carry that thing on the Sabbath. Not you walking for the first time in 38 years. Let's have a coffee. Nothing stronger. But no, they have a moment to say, "No, you cannot carry that on the Sabbath." That just breaks my mind. It just breaks my mind. And so the Jewish leaders said to them, "It is the Sabbath, the law forbids it." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" Yes. Oh man. "The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you.' The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well." Verse 16, "So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In the defense, Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at work, at his work, to this very day, and I too am working.'" Apologies. "For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him." Imagine that. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. And this, verse 19, please note. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself." The Son, this is Jesus Christ, can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And he gives them this answer. Now, how does this tie in with listening? I believe the following four or five things we can just take from that. Firstly, Jesus rocks up. He is the man with power for the hour. Everybody knows about Jesus. But yet, just see how he operates. Firstly, humbly. He's on his way. He's got a mission. Who of you have got a vision in life and a mission? Lots of us, we've got vision and drive and purpose. And so Jesus is going places. Yet he has a big crowd, lots of sick people. A number of them, the word says, sick, lame, lying around there. And what does he do? Does he write an email to the crowd? Does he speak to all of them and say, "Where is my microphone? Did you put up the banners before I arrived?" No, he doesn't. He hones in. He sees Rihanna, and then he hears the story. She's been lying there for 38 years. Hypothetical picture. And he walks up, and he stops for her. We might, as Christians, think, "Oh, Lord, the problems in this world, the problems in this area is just too much." But Christ says, "That's fine. I stopped for one. I had time for one." He only had 3 years. We've got longer ministries these days. Not as powerful. It should be. But he stopped and he said, hey. He stopped for that one person. So that's the first thing we learn from Christ in going low and listening. Listen to the one. You don't have to listen to the crowd. You might not have the capacity for three people, but listen to the one he sends. He took out time. As he stopped, he took out time. Do you know my biggest challenge as a pastor in our modern culture is that you guys don't have much time. Or you have a lot of time, but other things want your time. I don't want your time. I don't want the church per se to want your time, but God wants your time. That can mean a million things, so please don't put it in a box. But that's a challenge of listening. Will you take out the time to listen? Christ did, so we learn from him. Second thing here is, he had compassion. As I said, I can go into a Woolies, I can go into a Pick and Pay, and then I can do it as a very righteous little formula. Hi, how are you? No, I'm well. Bags, please. Yes, yes, I do have a card. When are you going home? And walk away with my three bags that's worth more than her salary for the day and feel better about myself. That's not it. It's to say, Lord, in my flesh I don't have compassion for people. But by the grace of God, please stir a Christ-like compassion that I see people. If you don't, then don't do it. Wait for it. Say, Lord, rather, man, I couldn't feel anything for the neighbor. But then just say, hey, Christ, come and stir a compassion. He was moved by compassion, not formula. Let us not be moved by a go-low formula, but a compassion stirred by Christ. So he had compassion and he stopped. Third thing that I note in the scripture. He was Christ. Yet he did the following. Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? What am I trying to say? Even though he was Christ, he knew exactly what was cooking. He had the ordentlikheid in Afrikaans, they say. He had the respect to ask, what do you want from me? He often did that. It wasn't a once-off. He often said, what do you want me to do for you? He had the respect, the honor to say, hey, what is it that you want? Because often in the answer, you find the answer yourself. Obviously, he was busy with lots of things in that moment. But he didn't just assume to just come and do stuff. Hey, I've got the power. In fact, he could call down legions of angels to take him away from the cross. He said it himself. But he had the moment, he said, he had the ordentlikheid. He had the respect to say, what can I do for you? And then he listened. And the guy told him his whole story. He said, oh, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. So he tells his whole story and Christ just listens. Christ, being God himself, just listens. He asks and listens. Are we willing to ask even though we think we have the answer? Am I willing to stop and listen and truly ask you what you want? I think evangelists and those that are evangelistically inclined, we can so often just look at if you've got a crutch or you're in a wheelchair, I just know what you need. You hear what I'm saying? They might need money for a lift. No, we're not going to tell that story. But it's just to stir a heart of compassion, just to wait, just to give time. I want everybody that I see on crutches, by the way, to be freed from crutches and wheelchairs. And I know that's what Christ died for. I'm just saying the timing and the way in which we do it. Don't jump on people and tell them what they need. Let's have the decency to ask them. Even though they got screwed up thinking and don't even know what to answer, just give them the time to answer you. Because Christ did it. He didn't just presume. He was humble himself. What he did was quite interesting. The fourth thing I wrote down there. He listened to the person and to the problem. Yet he did nothing about it. What do I mean by saying that? He listened to the person and said, hey, tell me about what's cooking. This is what I need, but I've got this major problem. He didn't tell him about this mountain. What is the mountain? The first one that gets healed, nobody carries me in time. This is a major problem. The natural man would automatically think, well, I hear the problem, let me fix the problem. I will carry you. As soon as the angel stirs the waters, I will carry you. But Christ has a decency. He doesn't even correct him. He hears him out. And then he knows what the true answer is. He knows what God is planning. And he just tells him, get up and walk. I know what you truly need. I know what the true problem is. The true problem is not this practical issue. There's a deeper thing here. Now, we can't stand still there, but it was just so beautiful because Christ could then just respond. He did not respond to the problem. He responds with God. I wrote down here, take heed, take heed, take heed. So church, I want to tell you, take heed, take heed, take heed. We'll often listen. We'll often be in a situation when we need to listen. But don't be problem fixers. Give people Jesus. This is a difficult one because it's not a formula and we like things in boxes because it's easier. Yet the answer, I believe, in listening is a relational one. I want to lead people as Christ had led them. And I want to give them God. I want to give them Christ. Yes, do I miss it? Obviously, I will. But that is the heart. That is what I'm trusting the Lord for. Not to give them my own opinion. Who's ever had this where you've got two people? Let's say it was exactly the same, in my opinion. Exactly the same issues. They came for counseling. They had a seat. They chatted about. They gave their words and they shared their heart. You listened. Gave them counsel. Other person comes in, exactly the same story. You're like, how can this be? And yet the Lord stirs a different answer. Who's ever had that? People are going like, why am I saying this? Because those two aren't similar. There's no two similar situations in this entire life. Only God, praise God, nothing's going to break. Only God has perfect perspective. I might think, oh, it's exactly the same. Yet God's just elevated. He says, I know your shoes. I know your life. I know your shoes in life. And the answer for you is X. The answer for you in this season is Y, but it will be X later on. What do I need down here? I need humility. I need humility. That's what I need. I need to listen and then say, Lord, what do you say? And then he speaks into it. I've had that in my life. Jesus rarely gives us what we think we need. He only gives us what we know, what he knows we need. I'm going to repeat that. Jesus, often than not, does not give us what we think we need. He gives us what he knows we need. It's like a good mother and father. It's just like a good mother and father. My kids often think they know what they need. Yet Edna knows what they need. And God is just like that. And so when listening to somebody, realize they're telling you as a child, this is what I need, this is what I need, this is what I need. And you just say, God, what do they actually need? The Samaritan woman, same thing. She was going on about a bunch of stuff. He didn't quiet her down. He didn't say, he listened. And then, boom, he went in. He knew exactly what was at heart. It shifted her. The whole town got saved. Because Christ was listening with an attentive God heart. And he did not give him opinion. He did not give culture. He did not give, and I'm not knocking intellect because God uses that a lot. But it's just having the balance right. The balance right in listening. The fifth thing, he was only God's hands and feet. Even Christ was only in listening God's hands and feet. Sometimes we can become so professional that we kind of just don't need to listen to the Lord, or we just keep him on the side. You can have been doing counseling for years and years and years and years and years, and then you just start to neglect to actually seek the Holy Spirit. Just to ask to double check with the Lord, double check with the Word. I believe Christ is just hitting the bullseye here because he's not giving into the problem. He's not fixing the problem. He's not even listening. He is listening, but he's hearing deeper than what this gentleman is saying. And then what does he give him in answer? He gives him God. We see it in verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever his Father does, the Son also does. I know I've used this a lot, but this is something that I obviously built my life upon, this heart, this principle. And it's very simply, one evening, I've got it later on in my notes, but I just sense to tell it now, we had a leaders meeting. I think George or somebody asked a difficult question. How do you deal with such a difficult matter if X, Y, Z, somebody asks you a question? And I said to him, I want to say to you, I start from the offset of just declaring before the Lord, I do not know the answer. Not sometimes, always. Even though you are so sure you know what the answer is, empty yourself and humble yourself before the Lord first. Come to the place first. Start always. Even though I've been doing this for years, I know how these things work. Yes, yes, yes. Go back to the start. Say before the Lord, Christ Jesus, I don't know, but you do know. The Spirit knows in me. And that's almost like it unlocks the door to lead onto a road of answers. To having to speak then. To humble yourself. And to say, Lord, please come and speak through me. And by the way, have you ever been in a situation where somebody looks to you for an answer, they keep on sharing, and then you just turn around and say, I do not know what the answer is. I actually had an atheist attack me one evening at a wedding. Bah, 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 why does God, why does... And I turned around and I said, I don't know why. I don't know why. I wish I knew that answer. I don't know why. I know I've got an experience with God and I've tasted Him for real. And I know He's real. He's spoken. He said stuff will happen. It happened. Not once, not twice, but 1,000 times in my life. That's why I believe. I can't answer that, why God lets stuff happen in the world. And it just broke him. He said, it's the first time that a Christian told me that I don't know the answer. And I said, well, I don't know the answer. And that just took the wind out of his sails. Now, he didn't drop down on his knees, repented, and got saved. But at least an honest seed was sown. I don't know the answer. I follow the answer, but I don't always have the answer. I'm in a pursuit for the answer. And if you struggle through something, I will pursue with you. But I'm not the guru. I'm just a follower of Christ. And likewise should we when we listen. Christ led this guy into an encounter with God. He led him into an encounter with God. When I listen, I don't want people to encounter me. Oh, here comes the nice guy into the shop that always asks me, when am I going home? No. Just a little bit of Christ. If there's just a little bit of Christ I can share. If there's just a little bit of Christ you can share. Johan can tell you so many stories of just listening over years. In the street he lives, or in the places he goes, where he communes and where he fellowships and where there's people around him, believers and unbelievers. And what I've listened as he was speaking, he just constantly, or mostly, listens. Over years he listened. And then ask him about the fruit that he's seen in many of those relationships. Quickly, number 3.4, listen and love. What are we learning today? We want to go low, but we want to be good listeners. What is the things that we're learning? We need compassion. Who of you can make compassion? Who of you can stir up compassion? None of us. But I believe fellowship, intimacy with the compassionate one will give us compassion. Have you ever been near a person with a mercy ministry heart that really has a heart for the lost and the broken and the destitute and the poor? It just spills over. It just touches your heart. As you deal with and as you spend time with somebody that's prophetic and passionate about the Lord's voice, it just spills over. So say, Christ, I'm not that compassionate about certain things and certain areas and certain people. Please come and stir a compassion. So firstly, we need compassion. If I listen, it says I care. It doesn't always have to lead to some spectacular supernatural moment. The spectacular moment in this culture that we live in is the mere fact that you say that you care. The fact that you care, that's it. That's not too much to ask. Just to stop and say, hey, what's up? And they can decide, no, screw that, I'm not going to talk to you. That's fine. But at least you had a moment where God wanted to say to you, I care. Who's ever been in a season of your life where you just wished one person will stop and ask you if you care? I remember, just very briefly, it's the second time I think of this testimony. I've told it before. One evening, late afternoon, in fact, it was the first Sunday before I preached my first sermon in Malmesbury. I went for a jog and the Lord said to me, just dropped in my spirit, we're gonna run a different route. And as I'm running, he said, turn left, and I turn left, and I run past here. It seems like a brand new Toyota Fortuner, big 4x4, comes down the road, and I'm like, go to the other side as it turns into this massive mansion, one of the biggest homes in Malmesbury. And I'm thinking, this guy comes from the work, he's had a couple of drinks, because that's what they do on Friday. I was a lawyer, so you have drinks after work. That's just how they roll. And so I'm just thinking, I'm just going to stay clear. And as I run past, God says, tell him I love him. I'm like, I have the fear of my life. Because I know this context. I'm like, this guy's sorted. And is that it? Is there nothing more to this message? Like a secret code or something that just can show this is the Lord? No, no, no. Tell him I love him. And so I run past. I stop. There's a little field there. I go stretch. Because that's what you do. So I stretch. I stretch. Then I run. Then I stretch. And I'm like, I'm going to write it down on a piece of paper. And I'm going to go put it in his postbox tonight. I'm sure that's what God actually meant. And so, after the struggle, I just realized there's no way I'm getting out. And I just turn around and like, this guy's going to laugh, but at least I'm willing to be foolish for the Lord. Knocks on the door, young daughter comes out, school clothes on. I said, hey, sorry, is your groot oom, the grand oom, is your dad here? She says, yes, I'll call him. And he calls him out. He walks out to the porch, big guy, business guy. I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm like, I start apologizing. I'm like, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Long story short, I just say, look here, this might sound foolish to you, but just I jogged past and I know the Lord in this. He just said to me to tell you he loves you. And in that moment, he just stares at me. I'm like, this is now an awkward moment. Then he opens up his mouth and he says, thank you for being obedient and thank you for sharing that with me. I lost my wife to cancer about, I think it was 2 months ago. And I really needed to hear from the Lord. And he was at a space where obviously either he's started to harden his heart or whatever. And so I just have this moment. Man, I ran from that house as if I've won the Comrades. I'm like, yeah, God is good. Yes, he's amazing. Just check how he works. And so he just spoke into that guy's heart. But what was needed in that moment was just God just needing hands and feet saying, I care. I see you. I never heard of the guy. No, I didn't invite him to church. I didn't lead him to the Lord if it was necessary. Didn't give him a placard. I didn't give him a bookmark. Nothing. Didn't do anything stranger than that. I just shared what I believe the Lord shared and then went. God wants to tell people that he actually cares because he actually do care. Third point is when we do this and listen, we are just telling people you are of value. You are valued by the Lord when we listen. Fourth thing is, I'm interested in your shoes. Now, I know this is nice values, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's often in life, you might see somebody, you just make up your own mind about them. You do. Please don't tell me you don't. You do. I'm not saying that it's always an ungodly mindset, but we often very quickly just make a judgment call. Yet it's so beautiful when you shift in and you go sit next to them and you say, hey, Stephen, just tell me about your month. Tell me about your shoes. The shoes you're walking in. Just tell me a bit about them. And it just breaks you. I had a moment like that on missions. Somebody I know, spent a couple of days. Just opened up. Not massive. Just opened up. Just told me something about their shoes. And I realized how wrong I was in so many areas. And I repented one day. And in fact, just in the walk, I said, I just repent for not knowing your shoes. Let's listen to one another in church just to know. You might see X, you might see Y, you might see Z, and just have your little idea about them. I want to say, with all due respect, screw our little ideas. Let's have the honesty and the godly love to listen before we just think we know somebody's shoes. Fifth point, there is help. We're in a world, a broken world, that think there's nobody to listen. Yet here we are, the church. And it's not only us, there's millions of us. Just wanting to share with somebody, being their ears to listen. Sixth thing that we're learning as we just go to listen, you are not alone. Seventh thing is God cares and he has the answer. And then I'm just wrapping it up and taking it back to Christ. Guys, I'm not listening to give them a retief. I need to listen because God has an answer. Every single time I sit with any one of you, or anybody else that we walk a road with, constantly in me, as much as I'm listening to you, I'm also listening, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I'm just telling, help, 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 because I don't want to screw up. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to give them of myself. Even though I know the answer, I want to check the answer. I'm saying, Jesus, 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 come, come. It's you that change. It's you that will help. It is God that is the answer, not me. So I'm constantly also listening in my heart. in my spirit. Lord, what are you saying? 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 Until the Holy Spirit gives the answer, I have no answer. Get yourself a t-shirt. Until the Holy Spirit gives the answer, we have no answer. Just imagine a church that operates like that. Judges on that ground, until the Holy Spirit speaks. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's not always that easy in your home, let's be honest. We're quick to speak, sometimes slow to listen. I repent. It's something that the Lord is working character in my life. James says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, to become angry. What are we saying to one another? Let's lead people to an encounter with God. Not an encounter with me. If I need to listen to you to be fulfilled in myself, I've got a problem. I want to lead you into an encounter with God. Five things, if you can give me 3 minutes. Five things that I believe is the reason why we struggle. And it's not an exclusive list. There can be many other things. But as I just thought through these things this week, why don't we listen? Why do I, as Retief, struggle to listen sometimes? Number one is, we listen to speak. Christ didn't listen to speak. I am the answer. By all means, I don't even have to listen. I can answer you before you ask. That's even biblical. But he didn't come with an attitude of, hey, I'm just listening because I want to speak. No, he listened because he listened. Can we be a people that listen to listen firstly? I'm not saying that we precluded, we won't be speaking. You'll be speaking a lot, but when we speak, boom! The Lord sorts out the enemy. Boom! People live in life and life in abundance. I'm not saying everybody's going to take it and run with it and eat it like sweet cake. No, that I'm not saying, but let's just keep to a godly principle. Let's not listen to speak, let's listen to listen. Second thing, why we struggle to listen sometimes because we're empty. I've just run empty. I just don't have the capacity to listen. I walk past my dog on a Thursday after intercession, and I'm thinking, don't even look to me. Munius my kaikini. Because he constantly wants to go out with the ball. I'm like, I'm maxed out. I've given what I had. Might not have been much, but I've given. Don't you even dare to look at me for more. I don't have the capacity. So sometimes we're just empty. Marvel, you don't there. Now's a good time. Now's a very good time. We don't get filled up and we've got nothing to give. Guys, if you want to be a listener, you need to spend time in listening to the Lord, listening to the Word, listening to His Spirit before you'll be able to go out and listen. Third thing, why we struggle to listen. We're caught up in ourselves, self-occupied. Me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. I might do the right spiritual things, but actually it's just all about me. I'm just caught up in myself, my hurt, my need to be valued, my opinion. Sometimes we're not aware that we have this thing we believe. It's not 100% biblical, but I just don't want you to challenge it. I don't want to listen to your challenge to this because I don't want to change this. Oh, you can't listen like that. I need to be open to listen to anybody, albeit a Christian, another religion, an atheist. Am I willing to listen? But listen deeply. Fourth thing, why we struggle sometimes to listen. We're caught up in self, but we're caught up in life. Life has become so frantic. Do you have time to listen? Sometimes I'll be in the row of checkers, but I'll be having conversations with three of you all together, and my mother-in-law. It's kind of difficult then to speak to the lady about behind the counter. Because life is just so busy. And frantically, you're trying to sort out this thing. You're thinking budget. You're thinking this. And maybe, is this not a fight? Or will this be a fight? And you're just so busy. You're just like, yes, yes, bags. Yes, my card. Okay, cool. Thank you. Bye. Life has become busy. We need to make some informed decisions. Fifth thing. Why do we struggle to listen? Because we think we have the answer. You do have the answer, guys. Hear my heart. But don't automatically assume you always have the answer. Be humble that we've shared. Two last things we're taking home. Listening And godly replies come from a place of wisdom. Wisdom comes from a place of the fear of the Lord and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Those are the take-homes. Do you truly want to go low and be a listener? Let Him stir compassion in your heart. Come with humility and say, Lord, I want wisdom. We know the beginning of wisdom is found with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so to truly give godly answers, godly counsel, and sometimes the answer is just to shut up. Did you know that? I've had that once. The answer sometimes is just to shut up, not say anything now. In 6 months' time, God would have prepared and then you can speak. But also don't hold back when you need to speak. Last scripture, as you stand with me, please. John 12:49. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father Himself who sent me has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus is still today the ultimate, with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, the ultimate listener. And yet Him, in walking the earth, He did not just assume things and just off the cuff, off the bat, just said stuff. He did it relationally with the Lord. And if we want to be effective godly listeners, let's do it in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. In saying that, even if we do know, saying, Lord, I humble myself, what do you want to say to this person? I've driven to many a coffees where I knew what the answer was, or so I thought, this is what this person needs. And in that space where I get there, the Holy Spirit comes and He speaks something different into their lives and breaks open something in their life. Let's be humble in doing that. Let's close our eyes. Father God, thank you that you lead us along a road of sanctification and changing us more and more and more into the image of your Son. Thank you, Father God, for your grace on our lives. Thank you that we want to go low in humility. Lord, we want to give you the opportunity this morning just to give us parts of compassion. You don't require from us dead works, but you say, hey, have compassionate hearts that are willing to listen. Show us the people in our life, even in our street, even if it's one and only one, that we can wholeheartedly and truly listen to. Thank you, Father God, that in the same sentence, thank you that the enemy will not take advantage of this either, that we will discern if the enemy sometimes just want to waste our time, and that we'll be connected to the Holy Spirit and listen. Thank you that we'll be quick to listen, slow to answer, but when we do answer, it will be your answer. Thank you for God encounters with people. Maybe just one thing this morning I want to just ask is, if you want to say, Lord, give me opportunities, I'm here to be used. Give me opportunities to listen and to speak your truth into life. Maybe just raise your hand this morning. Amen. Thank you, Father, just for, I see a lot of ears, Lord, a lot of God ears. There's a hungry world, there's a thirsty world, there's a needy world out there, there's a slave. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Lord, here's your ears. Here's humble ears in Jesus. Holy Spirit, may whatever we do in intimacy with you in Jesus' name. Amen.